Dear Professor Austin and dear colleagues, because we have now different approaches to this kind of surgery, Professor Austin and I, so it will be hopefully a good discussion afterwards about this more controversial topic. So migraine surgery in Austria, it was published first by Gairon 2000, and Gairon resected the corrugator muscles to release the pressure of the muscles to the supraorbital nerve. This was the idea, because he thinks still that the muscles around the supraorbital and the supratrochlear nerves can have some negative effects on these nerves. And if we remove these muscles, we can solve migraine symptoms. Inspired by this publication, Dierenberger, he was a surgical colleague of mine in the Wilhelmina Spital, and he was he has a lot of migraine symptoms through his whole life, and he asked me to perform this kind of surgery on him, and this is what we did. It's a short video. We took at that time 2002 or 3, and I did this surgery. This kind of surgery was used before migraine surgery to reduce the corrugator function, and more or less from aesthetic point of view. So in local anesthesia and some sedation, a normal upper blepharoplastic incision was performed, and then you see this is the supra orbital nerve, and then we go more medially by blunt dissection and look for the supratrochlear nerves. And here you see the supratrochlear nerves, and then we removed the parts of the corrugator muscles in between these nerves, and knowing that the nerves go from time to time really through this muscle, so it has to be really a precise dissection with loops, not to disturb the function of the nerves. So the as much as possible of these muscles in this area were removed, and you see by preserving the nerves, we don't do any harm to these nerves. Of course, after the surgery, these patients have less feeling in the frontal area because the nerves are distracted a little bit, and there's a neuropraxy, but anyhow, this comes back. And this is then the procedure, rather at the end of this kind of surgery. But we tried to remove really as much as possible, and we didn't want to leave any muscles back. As you can see, it's very important to make a precise hemostasis, because it can be real bleeding in this area. We have the vessels. And then this was more or less the procedure. And then the procedure was finished. And you see there are still some parts of the muscle to be removed. So, and at that time we used fibrin glue to improve the hemostasis, so the risk of post-op bleeding is reduced, and then these are the muscles removed from both sides of the upper blepharoplastic area. So this was the procedure we did, and Dr. Dierenberger was so impressed by this procedure, and his symptoms were so much less after this procedure that he started to perform this kind of surgery by himself to patients. So he made a study, a follow-up study, to control the long-time results of this kind of surgery, and published his results 2004 in the PIS, as you can see. And if you want to get more knowledge of the details of this publication, you have to go to the PIS journal. Anyhow, 60 patients were included in this study. All patients had classic symptoms of migraine according to the standards of the International Headache Society, and most of the patients were suffering since many years with heavy symptoms. The patients were divided into three groups according to the different severity of the symptoms. Group A, patients with up to 4 days of migraine per month. The second group was with 14 days of migraine attacks per month. And the last group, the third group, more than 15 days of permanent migraine. These two groups, so the study was divided in these groups. And of course, drug consumption and drug-dependent headache was included in the evaluation. Without going into details of this study, I just want to give some of the results. And as you can see, the reduction of headache days per month after 6 months, 6 months after the surgery, was showed an improvement of 57%. And the reduction of medication, drug input after 6 months, 6 months after surgery, was similar, about 60%. And the grade of satisfaction, as you can see, depended very much on the age of the patient and depended on the preoperative severity of the symptoms, and was quite different. If we summarize this grade of satisfaction, we can see that 1 month post surgery, 86% had a positive satisfaction. And 6 months post-op, only 68 patients had a positive satisfaction, a positive response. So again, it's only a summary, and it's not in the details. And concluding now my presentation, which is rather short, it's only to discuss and to have an introduction for Professor Aston. The conclusion is that although the grade of satisfaction among the 60 patients treated was acceptable, and the results of this type of surgery was very variable. And we had two complications. Two patients suffered from severe tension feeling or pain in the frontal area after the migraine surgery, and this pain and these problems lasted for months. So for a surgeon, these results are difficult to interpret. How can the symptoms return after 6 months, even once the muscle have been removed? So this is a question we had and we asked us. And then using Botox as a preoperative check, we did this. I didn't talk about that. But as we see that Botox seems to offer a similar, effective, and less demanding alternative, we stopped with migraine surgery and recommended Botox. So I'm very, very much interested in the talk of Dr. Professor Aston, and then we can discuss and see the difference of these different approaches. Thank you very much.